How did one of the world's most famous atheists become one of its most famous Christians? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, From Atheism to Christianity, The Story of C.S. Lewis. It's written by regular guest Dr. Joel Heck. From Atheism to Christianity is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. From Atheism to Christianity.
We must continually combat the stereotypes in Dr. Murray's work. These biases are a crutch and excuse to not address the real barriers women face in our economy, underinvestment in childcare, the lack of any paid parental leave, unequal pay, and so on and so on. In my humble opinion, Congress should not give these ideas a platform, and our committee should not seek to elevate offensive claims that rely on spurious evidence.
That's Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney speaking recently at a joint economic committee of the House and Senate. She's talking there. Mr. Murray is Charles Murray, author of many books on several subjects. And she's saying, in effect, we shouldn't be listening to this man's ideas at all. Why? Well, we're going to talk about that for the next few minutes of Issues Etc. and why Charles Murray, unlike so many who appear before the Senate or the Congress in committee hearings, was not treated as a guest in any way, but more as an enemy. Joining us to talk about this hearing and what was said there about Charles Murray, Joy Pullman, mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist and author of the new book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, in a recent column titled Congressional Hit on Charles Murray Indicates Rioting Won't Stay on Campus. Joy, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I was reading your tweets during that hearing when you were watching it, and you seemed to get kind of steamed about it. What upset you the most?
It's really hard to kind of put, you know, the visceral feelings that I had in words, but I think the context really is that my first job out of college was working at the same place where Charles Murray works. Now, of course, I was just a lowly little entry-level, you know, assistant. And, of course, he was already at that point, you know, an internationally known social scientist with many public policy recommendations that had improved the lives of millions of Americans. And so I actually took a class with him there, and so I had a small amount of personal contact with him. And it just led to a great deal of respect with me. Now, we're not exactly friends or anything, but just the way that he conducted the class, the way that he treated people who were kids who were his inferiors, he was just a generous and a kind man. And then since then, I've read a lot of his work and just have an enormous respect for the quality of his mind. So to see him treated like a piece of trash, you know, this respected person brought before Congress to testify, they invited him there and then turn around and basically spit in his face, I just felt deeply upset.
I mean, it seems to me that when you're invited there to testify, the subject should be the subject before the committee, not the person who's been invited to testify. He kind of became the committee subject, didn't he?
He did. I mean, so I watched the whole almost two-hour hearing, and, you know, basically nothing of substance was discussed, nothing that was fruitful for helping inform Congress to actually deal with the issues at hand. Democrats had decided to turn it into, you know, basically a drive-by at an eminent social scientist. And so, I mean, there were a couple of half-hearted kind of attempts to deal with the issue at hand, but it kept getting derailed every time a Democratic lawmaker would get up to speak and take his or her turn at the microphone.
And this comes on the heels of, it's been, probably going on 2 months now. Charles Murray appeared at a college, and he and, ironically, a very liberal professor there were physically assaulted and had to be removed because of the students there. Talk about that.
Right. I mean, what happened on the Middlebury campus? And now, so Charles Murray goes around the country, like a lot of conservative authors. He's actually a libertarian, not a conservative. He's an agnostic currently, I hope. I hope some of his friends help him with that before it gets too late. But anyway, so he went to a Vermont college, and basically there was a student riot. And so to give a little bit of context, there's this organization called the Southern Poverty Law Center that basically incites student violence on campus by printing up lists of selectively quoted in very incendiary things about prominent folks, typically on the conservative side. And it's been really well documented that this group basically does that to fundraise millions and millions of dollars. So they basically make their income by exploiting and you know, just trashing good people, I mean, decent people's reputations. So they decided that Murray is one of their targets, and students on campus, you know, use one of their hate sheets to go, you know, when he appeared to have a discussion of his work, students, you know, shouted, stood up, turned around, you know, made so much noise that it was impossible to hold a discussion. When he moved to another room and then conducted, you know, tried to continue it on a live stream, students came up to they found out where he was on campus, banged on the windows and the doors, you know, threateningly. And then when security hustled him and the professor from the campus out through a back door into a waiting SUV to get them off of campus, because things were so dangerous, students assaulted them. They grabbed the professor's hair, dragged her around, and then once they got in the car, they rocked it back and forth side from side. They threw concrete bases for stop signs in front of the SUV. You know, it was craziness going on there. And so that is the kind of reception that Charles Murray, you know, it's not a fair response to a man like him. You know, he doesn't deserve that. He deserves respect. And I get disagreement. You know, there's lots of controversial things that his work talks about, but you know, that's just not the way to treat a human being.
One of his most controversial works, although having read it, I don't think it ought to be, is The Bell Curve. What is this about, and why do so many people find it so outrageously offensive?
Well, it's a giant book. I mean, so I actually, before I wrote this article, I have read portions of The Bell Curve, but not all of it. So I went to the library and got it out. And, you know, it's about 2.5 inches thick. And Charles Murray is the co-author on it. It was kind of his big breakout book. I think it was published in the 90s. And so one of the things that The Bell Curve, basically the major theme of the book is kind of human genetics. I mean, a bell curve, you know, if you know a little bit about that from your basic science class, you know, bell curve is where you have, you know, it's kind of talking about what average behavior, how many people are close to the average, and then how many people are kind of outliers on both the high and the low ends of the bell curve. It's kind of a statistical thing. And so his work with Richard Herrnstein mentioned the fact that there are aggregate differences in IQ levels among Americans, and that this poses policy problems. I mean, the book, it attributes some of this to institutional racism and other conditions, so basically not blaming people. And of course, you know, any given individual may be on anywhere within, you know, the spectrum of his or her group. And this is really a widely recognized understanding with research scientists. You know, for example, we see all kinds of racial differences in health characteristics, such as African Americans are more susceptible to heart disease. So there's different racial, you know, attributes to different groups. So just by talking about those, and, you know, that's just basic science data, and it's not attributing to the fault or the cause of anyone, but rather, you know, or not saying as a result of this, you know, therefore different racial groups are inferior or anything, but basically saying with charity, how do we recognize these differences and basically serve people as a result of them? It's a pretty complicated topic, but the bottom line is that since he just pointed out the basic facts about different aggregate IQ levels among the races, he is now a racist for, you know, telling the truth.
So with only a minute here, Joy, what is the takeaway from both his treatment there at Middlebury and now at the hands of both senators and congressmen in this joint economic committee? What's the takeaway for you?
Well, I really think what it indicates, and it's a little scary to me, but that folks who are thought to be more sober-minded and better, you know, cultural leaders, look, this was a hearing about bringing America together, and Democrats proceeded to give lip service. And I don't, you know, think it's only Democrats who do this sort of thing. Republicans do cheap shots all the time as well. But the takeaway from this is that people who should be better examples of treating people with dignity, taking care of free speech, of doing its job, you know, of actually engaging with the ideas rather than shouting down and shutting out and vilifying a person unfairly. You know, it was more civil than the campus riot at Middlebury that Charles Murray endured, but it was basically a version of the same thing. Basically, you know, just saying just because you have different ideas about the implications of facts, that you are an illegitimate human being, and, you know, that someone who is one of the world's, you know, greatest social scientists deserves to be put in the same category as Nazis is utterly ridiculous and unfair.
Joy Pullman is a mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the new book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, and a recent column titled Congressional Hit on Charles Murray Indicates Rioting Won't Stay on Campus. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on Christian devotion, talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about part two of Luther's fourfold strand of prayer. It began with instruction, and as he said last time we talked, having heard from God about who he is and who we are, we first give thanks for everything God has done for us. We'll talk about Thanksgiving in that series on Christian devotion with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.